Have you ever seen the results of confident prayer? There's Hannah, Samuel's mom, in 1 Samuel chapter 2. There's Solomon's prayer for wisdom in 2 Chronicles 1:10. But the one that I'd like to focus on today is Elijah's prayer to defeat the prophets of Baal. This story takes place in roughly 800 BC, when the time of Israel had divided into two separate kingdoms, the divided kingdom. It was the northern and the southern. And the story, it takes place in 1 Kings, more specifically 1 Kings 18, and in the northern bit. A little bit of context for the story is that Israel was doing really bad at the time. They were doing pretty evil things, such as worshiping idols. And God was punishing them with a famine. In fact, after the whole ordeal, Elijah goes on to say that he was the only righteous person in the entire nation. Of course, God goes on later to tell him that there's actually 7,000 other righteous people, but that's still a small number for the kingdom. So how the story goes, as most of you already know, the Israelites are worshiping Baal, and Elijah has the king bring 450 prophets to Mount Carmel so he can discuss the rules of the contest. The contest was so they could decide which God was the real God. So the rules of the contest were they had to sacrifice a bull, they had to cook it, but with no fire. It was a burnt offering. And going into this, there were a lot of stakes involved. If Elijah wins the contest, and the prophets of Baal would have a punishment waiting for them. Exodus 22:20 reads, "He who sacrifices to any god except the Lord only, he shall be utterly destroyed." And as God wouldn't have been proven, the punishment would follow. The same law wouldn't apply to Elijah, though, since they wouldn't be following God's law. However, Elijah wasn't exactly allowed in the kingdom of Israel, since he was actually exiled. So the only reason he's here now is because he met up with the king, and the king was too prideful to turn down Elijah's offer of a challenge. So in order for Elijah to stay alive after the challenge, he would have to have a good reason, such as bring out the truth of the one and only God. So there's two stakes on the line. The loser would have died. So the prophets of Baal, they go first. So they chant from morning until noon, but the Baal doesn't reply. And at this point, Elijah starts to mock them. In 1 Kings 18:27, he says, "Cry aloud, for he is a god," sarcastically, by the way. "Either he's meditating, or he's busy, or he's on a journey, perhaps he's sleeping and needs to be awakened." Because of Elijah's mockery, the prophets of Baal start to try harder. They start to cut themselves open because in their religion, that's how you get closer to Baal. In the end, Baal was nowhere to be found. And after the prophets of Baal made a fool of themselves, Elijah took his turn. Elijah started by putting 12 stones on the altar, which represented the 12 tribes of Israel. But the 12 stones is really almost a protest, because at this point in time, the kingdom was divided between 10 in the north, 2 in the south tribes. And it's clear that Elijah really, he really supported the full kingdom of Israel, opposed to having them separated. So then he pours 4 buckets of water on the altar, not once, not twice, but 3 times over, just to prove that water is inflammable. He also highlights that he's one prophet to 450, and he's basically saying that there's no way to doubt that what he's saying could be you know, fake, or he has the disadvantage in the situation. So basically, so he has the disadvantage. So there's no doubt that if he provides the proof that God is real, there can't be a doubt. So now Elijah begins to pray. I'd ask if you flip with me to 1 Kings 18, verse 36. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that these people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Keep in mind, by the way, that these are not just perfect bulls. These are the really expensive ones, as, you know, God is punishing them with a famine at this point in time. So it's really expensive. Like, these bulls could feed a family, but using this for a sacrifice, just like how Jesus was not only without blemish, but he was extremely valuable as God's only son. And God, answers Elijah's prayers, and he sends the fire down from heaven, and it not only consumes the burnt offering, but the wood, the stones, the dust, and even the water that they had poured, it consumes all of it. And the people finally realize that God is the one and only God, and they praise him, leaving Elijah to carry out God's law with the prophets of Baal. After the people have repented and come back to God, God ends a 3-year famine. So how does this tie into Jesus Christ? Well, Jesus quotes in Matthew 4:10, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve, which is exactly the problem that the prophets of Baal are having in this story. Jesus also goes on to say that with God, all things are possible. But how are all things possible today? Through prayer. If you'd like to flip with me to Mark 11:24. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Have confidence and expectation in your prayer, like how Elijah put everything on the line, trusting that God would answer. In the grand scheme of things, nothing can seem too far away if you set your sights on the right things. Be confident in your prayers, and God will answer.